Welcome to Hobby Guys Hobby Time, where you listen to two dudes waffle on about hobby until the heat death of the universe. I'm Will, and I'm joined by my co-host Steph. How you doing, Steph?
I'm doing good. You talking about the heat death of the universe, and I'm sitting here going, I'm cold. I might put the heat on.
Man, it's pretty ridiculous. It's like it's basically May now, and the heating is on in my house. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's bullshit.
But no, other than that, I am good. I'm ready
That's
to
good.
Podcast.
And how good was that intro?
Oh, it was great.
Well, let's start it off as we always do. What have you been hobbying lately?
I am continuing to paint feverishly on my MPO entry.
Big old obitus.
Big old obitus, yeah. NMM for days now.
It's looking
my foreseeable painting future.
But it's looking very tasty.
Cheers, man.
The NMM on that shoulder has come out real nice. Have you posted about it on your Instagram yet?
I have not, but I will have by the time this airs.
Oh, very cool. Final one, or would it be a work in progress?
What are we looking at? It'll probably be close to final. It won't be the final yet.
Okay. Touch wood. This is before you drop a 1 liter of PVA glue on it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I was building some cupboards earlier and accidentally knocked one of my old miniatures off the shelf. So that's in multiple pieces now. But
good Lord. Okay. Do you know what? You know when we were talking about like what our miniatures would say about us? I swear to God, any painted miniature in your hands, it's like a coin flip whether they see the next year.
It's like, no, don't come close. No, no.
And what's worse is I know that you have such disdain for any painted miniature. Once it's damaged and it's already been like put into a competition or something, it's basically dead to you and it will remain in whatever state it exists in.
Until I need it again.
Poor bastards. Right. Well, I've been finishing off my Dark Angels. I'm like,
yes.
I think maybe a day away from finishing my my veterans, which is great.
Right.
Then I can start painting the three jump pack marines. Yeah, I'm a little bit behind, I gotta admit, because well, basically, I think when this goes out, I will either be in a mental dumpster fire or I will be happily in control of everything. But I was hoping to have the entire month of May for the Exindio robot because I still have to build it and paint it from nothing. And I've got to do a big display base on it as well. So it is starting to get me a bit nervous, but yeah, so I was hoping I'd already have those three Marines finished by this time, which I don't, but I think it's still okay. Still got about 4 solid weeks until I go on holiday, but just before the event. So, yeah.
Yeah, it'll be fine. I think we figured out the other day that you're probably in the best position of of all the guys going to that event.
Well, apart from Dan.
Well,
because
Dan.
It's yeah. Dan. He was I think, the day that he bought the ticket.
But even if he wasn't, like, even if he just started buying the stuff for it now, I would have full confidence that Dan would be absolutely fine for that event.
Yeah. I think he might break a sweat at this point, but I think he'd be fine. Because he's an insane machine.
I mean, considering it, currently he's been painting. All I see of his stuff is Eldar these days.
Yeah.
So he's not in any way concerned about a heresy event.
No, no. I mean, he's probably got about like 6 or 7 armies worth that he could take to this thing, done and dusted.
100%.
Yeah. Yeah. If anyone's curious, I think you can find him on Instagram at ParshianShot. Well worth checking out. His stuff is really nice. And he's got a really, really good methodical approach to painting armies and really gets through them. It is very, very, very admirable.
Friend of the show.
Friend of the show. Yeah, but the funniest thing is, right, we've got a little group chat for this event, and he, every now and then, I think probably about every month, he chimes in saying, this is how much time you've got left if you use 2 hours a day. And by the way, just for reference, I have done the entire Eldar army in about 40 hours. And it's like, oh, God. It's like, I mean, I'm doing all right, but Jesus Christ, Dan, like... You could do like another two probably by the time that we need to go.
Good old Dan.
Yeah. Right, anyway, what have you seen this week? What have you watched?
So, anything good? The one thing that I watched this week, or this last couple of weeks, was Ninjon's latest video, where he went back to his old Nightlord army.
I've watched this one too.
Yeah, I thought it was really interesting. There was one part of it where he was like, you know, going through that experience of he had this army that he rushed, doesn't like it, hates it. He's kind of gone through and updated everything, and he had this kind of point where he's like, you know, every year you could just go in and update a couple of bits, and over time it gets better. And it's like, it's a really good point, because so often when you're looking at armies and stuff, it's like, right, I'm doing it for this event, or, you know, you guys doing this for this doubles event and all that kind of stuff. As soon as it's done and you go to that event and that army's done, you probably won't touch it again. But you could, you know, if you have another heresy event or another whatever, it's like, yeah, I'll just touch up a couple of bits, I'll fix the metals, or I'll do whatever. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, a year later, without even realizing it, without putting so much pressure on yourself, that army that you originally did looks so much better.
Yeah, it's quite funny, because before, I've watched this video as well, and I thought it was really good. I thought it was really, in part, I think it's also quite brave, because revisiting something that is done, I think, is quite a mental hurdle sometimes, because there's always like the fear that you've gotten to a point, but what happens if you ruin it? You bring it like right back, or like, you know, you lower its value in your own eyes. But I've already kind of resigned myself that this Dark Angel army that I'm taking is not going to be finished. Like, it is finished in the sense of it will have the requisite, you know, everything will be painted, everything will be done. But I think because I've done this thing in my own nature, which is very like sporadically, I know that the first five Marines that I painted are significantly below the par of the last six that I've done. And so, but a lot of those things that I've done is just kind of like extra steps on top of the process that I did for those original ones. So it's definitely something that I want to go back and do on those first few models. And I think just bring everything up to that same standard and try and push for that consistency. Like, you know that like that librarian character that I have with the flaming, the fire in his hand.
Yeah,
that's probably like the first model that I painted, like the sackcloth lines on his tabard. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't have any shading on that cloth. It's just pretty much like uniformly the same color, the same level of like highlights on that texture that I've applied. And it's fine, but it's the first thing that like comes out at you when you look at the miniature. It's like, that's really cool. There's a lot of texture on that cloth, but it's not really lacking like the shading that you would expect from something that A, has OSL on it, which means that you've already decided to put a light system in place. So it kind of really jars your eye. And it's a kind of a thing that I think I'm going to end up doing. Like, those first Marines don't have any of that sackcloth texture, something that I can easily add on after the fact. And then go back and kind of shade that stuff in as well, I think I'll do.
And then... You've got to prioritize, haven't you?
Yeah,
you
know, yeah.
Whether that's shaded or not, it's not going to make any difference to the fact that you can go to the event. You know, the fact that six of your Marines are probably still unpainted, they're going to stop you going to the event.
Exactly. I'm not revisiting that. And in fact, like, since starting the army, I obviously had this strategy for basing them on this like pristine marble palace floor. And I think I'm now liking the idea that they would be in ruins. And I want to play with pigmentation and stuff like that, because now that I've done tanks, I think the tanks suffer from being so, like, they're scratched up and dinged up, but I really want them to have some pigments on them to give them like that kind of worn and weathered look. And to do that, I feel like I need to do that on the infantry as well. And that's something that I can definitely do, and it's a skill that I can use this army to elaborate on, in the sense that they'll be done for this event with their pristine bases, and at some point in the future, I'll basically hit up the entire army and weather it with bricks and dust and stuff like that, as if they were on this nice palace floor, but it's now basically crumbling around them. So, yeah, nice. I'm quite excited that's by
cool.
that.
I like that.
Yeah.
That is a cool idea. What have you been watching?
Right, so I think what I've been watching is, off the back of meeting Alex from 52 Miniatures, I watched his latest video, which is kind of talking about the fact that so many of the, like, units from his Stormcast Age of Sigmar army have basically been pushed into Legends. So I'm not really an Age of Sigmar player, but I think this is pretty similar to some of their other games, where they will kind of, like, rotate out miniatures and like, almost entire lines, as it is the case now that, like, you know, like, Beastmen are basically no longer an Age of Sigmar army. And I think on other games, like, let's say 40K, where they decided to, like, make all of the Firstborn Marines into, like, Legends units, so you can still play with them in casual games, but you can't really take them to tournaments. I think that was, like, I think everyone saw that coming, even though it did invalidate a lot of people's collections.
Yeah.
You know, no one's really going to argue whether you could, you know, take a model as a Primaris Marine, whether it is one or not. But I think putting an entire army, an entire faction into Legends is pretty rough, I've got to say. I don't want to be a Beastman player right now.
It's harsh, but obviously the reason that they're doing that, by the looks of it, is so that Beastmen can then be in Old World, because for whatever reason they have to be separate.
Yeah.
Which is stupid.
Such a miss, you know. Like, I can kind of understand why they're doing it, or, like, there is logic to what the reason for it, but it just, it's one of those things where it just feels like it's a pencil pusher's protocol more than anything, and only people suffering are hobbyists, and it's just it's very frustrating.
Yeah, but it was an interesting video, though, because it could have come across him as him being quite annoyed by it, and to a certain extent it kind of did, but then
I think it's quite funny, because, like, the way that he filmed it definitely seemed like he was quite peeved about it. He was just like, well, this is my army, and now put in the box, put in the box, put in the box, put in the box. This is what I can actually use now.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you're right. He had. I think his kind of message was a good one, I think.
Yes. Yeah.
Which was, I think, basically, when something like this happens, you obviously have a right to be frustrated. And I think for him, it's not, oh, I'm never going to be playing a Games Workshop game or collecting a Games Workshop miniature ever again, but I'm going to take a break. And I think that's really good. I think there's so many things that warrant your attention as a hobbyist outside of the grand sphere of Games Workshop. And I think it's always healthy.
Yeah, and as part of that video, it's kind of one of my big frustrations with GW and their 3-year turnaround kind of thing, because he was talking about his journey playing Age of Sigmar. He picked up, he started playing the Stormcast, and he had this idea for an army, and then it took him basically 3 years to put that army together, and then they brought out a new edition. So that was AOS 3, and he kind of went, okay, well, now I'll change the army and update it with some of this new stuff, and came up with a new theme, and then it got to the point now where they've binned off half of that stuff, but he hasn't even finished that second army.
Yeah.
And it's like, normal people don't finish armies quick enough to enjoy an edition of 40K and Age of Sigmar these days.
Yeah. I mean, there's certainly people that do, but I think that kind of hobbyist, I think, who's interested in a lot of different things. And I think I'm kind of similar in the fact that I have, like, sporadic motivation to do different things. And so I'll have many different projects on the go, and they will slowly tick up towards completion. I think that's who suffers, really.
That's probably a better way of putting what I kind of mean, is if you, it feels like you have to commit.
Yeah.
It's like, AOS 4 is coming out, great. You know, I have my lizards. I want to do the lizards. But I feel like I really have to commit. I have to make that decision to go, right, if I'm going to do this and play AOS 4, I have to commit and do those lizards quickly, or quick enough to enjoy playing AOS 4 for a couple of years.
Yeah.
Otherwise, what's the point?
Well, I would argue that regardless of whether you're playing the game at, like, the height of its popularity or not, those games still exist. And I think also playing the game with partially painted armies and things like that, I think if that's, of course it won't be as enjoyable as like a fully painted terrain board, as well as fully painted armies on both sides. I think you can still get all of the enjoyment out of it. And I think maybe it's more of a case that people, or, you know, I think my advice would be, like, don't let yourself be rushed. Just enjoy it while it lasts, and you can always pick up this stuff again. I mean, just look at us and our 15 mil 7th edition fantasy battles. Like, that game has been long gone.
Yeah.
And obviously it still has its players, but, you know, those things exist. You can never unprint a book, so, you know.
Yeah, that is very true. And it does largely depend on who you're playing the game with. You know,
yeah.
All it takes is, you know, three or four friends to be like, you know, we're going to play this edition. Let's have some fun.
Yeah, exactly. Or even just one. But I think, I mean, your point is also kind of valid in the sense that, like, you know, if you've got, like, a club and you like to play as part of a club, then those windows really do matter. But then I also think, like, you know, this whole idea that, like, okay, 3 years you've got an edition change, and possibly every 6 years you can write off any of the miniatures that you've collected in that time. It's kind of scary. Like, if you buy and paint, if you buy a box of miniatures, you've got 6 years, which is a lot of time. And, you know, 6 years is just a grab in the dark, really. But you wouldn't expect that miniatures printed in one edition immediately get invalidated in the next edition. Hopefully they last at least for the next edition. But it's kind of nuts, because it does kind of suggest that you should maybe focus on a game. But I don't know about you. I don't think I could ever focus on a game unless, you know, I was part of a game club that I visited every week. And they were also, in, like, almost entirely committed to a game. The only time I can think of something like that was, you know, back in the days of Horde's War Machine. Like, I don't think I had any other game systems on the go. It was that, or it was nothing. You know, there was, like, a couple of little interests on the side, but realistically, kind of day in, day out, it was Warmer Hordes.
Yeah, and I feel like I'm past that now as well.
Yeah.
Now I play, you know, I have one night a week where I go to the club and play a game. I don't want to play the same game every single time. Whereas back in the War Machine days, I would.
Yeah.
I was like, right, you know, I was playing 2, 3, 4 times a week sometimes. But yeah, things change, and now I want to play loads of different stuff. I'm into all sorts of games, and I feel like I don't want to have to say, right, I'm playing AOS 4, so I need to play it a lot in order to justify putting that effort in before everything changes again in 3 years' time.
Yeah. Anyway. I suppose this advice is very subjective. It is. The way that people enjoy the hobby is totally different between different people. Right, so on the topic of hobby.
Yes, hobby motivation. Our main
topic, our main topic today is about hobby motivation. So do you want to kick us off with your first tip to keep yourself motivated?
To keep yourself motivated. So taking the example of something like Obitus that I'm painting right now, a big project that you're potentially sinking hundreds of hours into, obviously that is a prime candidate to becoming unmotivated or demotivated, painting that one single thing for so long.
Yeah.
So sometimes when I'm doing that, I do have these moments where I'm like, you know what, I'm actually just going to paint something else. You know, I'll paint like whatever it is, but make sure it's something quick. You get kind of like a hit of, I've just completed something great, you know, whether it's a couple of models for an army or whatever, but you know.
Yeah.
Different kind dopamine. Of standard, yeah, get that dopamine hit, and then go back to it, and it's like, right, cool, I achieved something over there, right, I'll get back onto the main thing, and that can help. I've done that in the past. It could be seen sometimes as being distracted, but it's like, it's either that or I don't paint.
Yeah.
And it's almost worse sometimes, where it's like, you know, I just didn't paint, and now I've got the same problem. I don't want to go back to it.
Yeah. No, I get that a lot as well. And I think the kind of hobbyist that I am is kind of like skittish. I want to do different things every week or so.
Mm.
Which is weird, but hey.
But sometimes you have to go with that. If you've got the urge to do something, whether it's painting something or, you know, playing a video game or whatever, sometimes you do kind of need to be like, you know what, I want to do that, I'm going to go and do that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you'll just be sat there trying to paint a model, and all you can think about is, I wish I was painting this other model, you know.
Mm.
It's not healthy.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So that's my first one.
My first one is, I've added one in just because the way that you were talking about Obitus was an interesting one.
Mm.
In a sense, my first one is the hobby streak, which is something that I've been doing this year, pretty much just to kind of quantify how much time I've consecutively spent hobbying.
What streak are you on right now?
I think it's day 106.
Wow. Okay.
So it's nearly the whole year so far. The funny thing is, I think if I had counted it from earlier, like, I'm pretty sure the day before I started the hobby streak, I hobbied. Like, it's just I wasn't counting it. But I think the nice thing about, like, the hobby streak is, it kind of, I mean, I don't really need much help with this, but it keeps me coming back to the hobby table. I think the nice thing about the hobby, especially if you do it consistently, is like, if you spend, you know, your whole evening in front of the TV or something, you might have, like, I mean, you're kind of wasting your time. And at the end of the day, like, hobbying is kind of wasting your time as well. But at least at the end of it, you've got something to show for it. And, you know, you're going to enjoy your time in front of the TV. You're going to enjoy your time in doing the hobby. But at least I think it's, like, productive. There's like, an end product at the end of it. And you've almost, like, crystallized your time. It's not just gone. It exists. It's still there. And you can appreciate the time that you've spent in something. But my other suggestion, kind of going against what you were saying in terms of, like, you know, do whatever you want to because it'll keep you motivated, is try and put yourself in a situation where you have, like, a hard goal to achieve every now and then. Because tell you what, as much as I've got, like, a huge hobby streak, I end up being – I'm not a very efficient painter. I'm quite slow. But I've almost needed, like, the entirety of that 100-plus days has all been, like, with the exception of a few commissions – has all been in the Dark Angels and getting them done for this event. And I would not be where I am if I weren't gunning for this event. Like, I've painted, I think, like, I want to say, like, half of what I'm taking to the event this year. And I think I probably would have only painted, like, maybe 5% of what I've painted so far if I hadn't been gunning for this event. Because I am that kind of person who will, you know, they'll get it done, but they might have, like, you know, a batch of five Marines on their desk for 2 months because, you know, they will be like, I'll spend 2 hours a night painting or doing hobby, but maybe like one night a week will be on that project and the rest will be doing other things. So I think having a goal and working towards it. And now the nice thing, or like the nice benefit of having that hard goal, I've always had a really tough time and kind of like not sweating the small stuff. But now that I have this hard goal, it's like, my dude, you really don't have time to sweat the small stuff. So just move on. And like not be apprehensive or scared about a certain step in your process. Like, oh, I don't want to paint the OSL because I might ruin the whole model. I don't want to paint the weapons because they're tricky and I need to be really precise. Like, tough. You've got to do it because otherwise it's not going to get done. So yeah, that really has helped.
Having that deadline, it does help actually finishing a project or making sure you get the thing that you need doing done. Like you say, if you weren't, you know, if you weren't going to that event, you didn't have that deadline, you wouldn't have the stuff painted that you do right now.
Yeah.
Because you have that goal. So yeah, it makes total sense. I think that leads nicely into mine as well, my second one. Which is giving yourself small wins. And what I mean by that is, again, taking Obitus as an example, last night I sat down and went, right, I'm going to paint the top plate of his shoulder pad. Yeah. By the end of the night, that is going to be done. So just at the end of the night, I was like, right, cool, I did that. That's a small win. Yeah. I did a thing.
That's like 5% of the whole model, but you've done it.
Yeah, but it's focusing in and just forgetting about the rest of the model and thinking, right, I have achieved this one thing. I've done good. You know, I did what I set out to do. It doesn't really matter that there's, you know, 90% of the model still to go. And quite often I'll make lists, like make checklists based on those little things. So it's like, you know, break it down into really, really small parts, and each time you paint one of the bits, you can check it off the list.
Yeah, That's like it's kind of like you could probably get away with not having the hard goals if you were able to give yourself like really good time management and kind of jot down all of the tasks that you need to do, and then just say, right, I'm going to hit one every day. And then, bam, that's your hobby streak, for one. And also, you're actually getting stuff ticked off consistently. And you can see, okay, you might not even need to do it for a certain event or something or by a certain time, but you know how long it will take you because you can actually plot it out. You can say, well, I've only got 30 more tasks. That means they will be done at the end of the month or they'll be done for next month.
Easy,
yeah, right? I love small wins. Small wins is such a good one.
That's it. It's something that, you know, I do in my day job, you know, breaking things down into the smallest pieces so you can just concentrate on that one thing, and then you're doing one by one, suddenly the big project is complete, but just transfers over.
Yeah. And then the small wins have worked very well on the Dark Angels as well, because it's like, you know, I've got 2 hours. At the moment, the batch is like 6 Marines, but it's like, you know, there's 4 plasma guns. Do the OSL for 4 plasma guns in 2 hours. Like, easy. You know, that's, I mean, it's, you know, I'm not the greatest painter, but 2 hours is plenty of time. And actually having that, like, tight deadline and the kind of benefit of that small win, just looking at the miniature before and after, it makes such a difference. Like, it's like, oh, this is, yeah, I mean, it's kind of there, but, you know, the gun's not finished. And then it's like, wow, that OSL kind of hides other stuff that's not finished because it's so, like, impactful. So, yeah, small wins are superb.
Small wins. What's your number two?
My number two is routine, which is kind of like hobby streak. In the sense that, you know, you're kind of punching away at a goal consistently. But for me, like, what really helped was, funnily enough, having kids. Like, suddenly not having huge amounts of free time. And especially, you know, when they were really young, basically not being able to hobby at all. But that kind of being like a gnawing thing where it's like, I really want to do some hobby, and trying to bottle that feeling to the point where, okay, actually there's now, let's say, 3 hours a night that I have free time, or where I'm basically just on call if they wake up while they're asleep. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they're old enough now that they don't really do that anymore. So I've got like 3 hours a night that are just for me. And instead of spending in front of the TV, it's just sat down at a desk hobbying. And that routine is really, I think I've said it before, but like since having kids and establishing that routine where I sit down every evening and do some hobby, I think I've done more than I have ever done before within the space of a year. Like 1 year of that was more than I'd ever done before in terms of actual hobby. Much less playing games.
Your PC gaming has suffered.
Well, I mean, PC gaming and actual war gaming. Like, I think I play as many war games in a year as I used to do in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Which is kind of insane. But I don't know. I think I've kind of always enjoyed the hobby side of things as much, if not more so, than the gameplay. But I do miss having like a close-knit group of mates to kind of hang out with every week.
Yeah.
But it would kind of be difficult anyway with the kids. So like, it's good. It's good how it is, I think. I have my lot and I'm enjoying it. So, yeah. How about your number three?
Right. My number three. Hobbying socially.
It's funny how this is all like sequential. It's almost like one is leading into the other, and it's not even by design.
No, I mean quite often at the club, if I've not got a game planned, you know, I'd be like, oh, I'll just go down and take a box full of paints and whatever I'm working on, and we'll set up a hobby table, get 3 or 4 of us around the table, and it's just, you know, you can sit there, you can hang out. You do some painting, doing some building, whatever you're doing, but having a good time with people, it just, by the end of it, you're like, oh, I painted this thing, I didn't even realize. Whereas if you're sat at home, you know, on your own, it's very easy to be like, oh, this is taking so long.
Yeah. I'll just put the TV on.
Yeah, I'll just get distracted, and suddenly you've sat and watched an episode of something for half an hour with your paintbrush in your mouth.
Yeah.
But then, similarly, you know, when we go away every year, just like the four of us, we spend a lot of that just sat down hobbying. Especially last couple of times we've been away, it's just kind of, I wake up and it's like, right, I'm just going to sit at the hobby desk and do some hobby while we chat.
That's it.
And, so much stuff actually gets done while we're doing that. It's great.
It's great.
But it's easy to do and not feel like it's a stress or a strain. Or like I say, you don't sit there thinking, oh, this is taking so long. Because you're chatting, you're having a good time with people.
Yeah. I think the nice thing is it's just you have something, you just put something that you want to do in front of you, and then you just hang out with your mates. And funnily enough, after like 3 minutes, you're starting to do stuff. And then you're just in the zone.
And you can quickly just get answers to things as well. It's just like, oh, what do you reckon to this? Should I paint this red or blue? You know, you get a few people's opinions and you go, oh, cool, I'll do it like that.
And you don't sit in your head, right, and go like, well, should it be blue? Should it be red? Get online, do some research, look at some pictures, and like, you're right. It's just
exactly which red shall I paint? Let's go on Instagram God, and hashtag red.
Hey, you! I really like how you've done this. Can you tell me the recipe? I've done that too many times.
Yeah, same. Scrolling through the comments, it's like, please, did someone ask for the recipe? Or do I have to do it myself?
Oh fuck!
These three people have asked for the recipe. Why have you not replied? Come on, man.
Ain't it? That's the worst, isn't it? Although I have found just sending people messages, I've been more successful than not in getting the answers that I want from creators, which is nice.
Fair enough. Because I think that's pretty good.
It's easy to be like, nah, I can't be fucked with that. Like, figure it out yourself. or not replying. But
I don't tend to do that. I just assume that I'd just be bugging them, or like that loads of people just message them stupid questions.
Yeah.
But no, fair play. I might do that more if people.
Yeah, no, I've had really good experiences. You know, like nice. Reaching out to a variety of people that have a lot of Instagram followers who probably get a lot of messages, and just getting like good engagement from them. You know, yeah, I think if you don't try, it'll never happen, right? So all you're doing is, in the worst case, typing out a message and never getting responded. It's not really that much.
Okay, yeah. Do you want to wrap this up?
Well, yeah, my number three is, I've pretty much already talked about it, to be honest, which is like knowing when a job is done and giving yourself metrics and organize what you're doing, which kind of already talked about in terms of like, I think it's maybe like the Dan Porter method of getting shit done. It's like task oriented, like plan it out, know how much time you're going to use on different things, and like be pragmatic about it, and also like approach it the right way and kind of like, yeah, plan it out. I'm historically really bad at this. I hate doing it, but you know, it's even very useful in your day-to-day work life. As you mentioned with your little small task thing, a lot of it kind of bleeds through.
Yeah, but
yeah, I think having like some external pressure, and I think Ninjon's video about his Night Lords is really nice. It's really like comforting, because you know that, okay, like maybe you're only going to spend a day on this stage now, and it might not be as good as you want it to be when you finish it. Move on anyway, right? Because you can always revisit it later.
Yeah.
And actually, you might find that once you've completed the whole model, that bit that you were kind of like, I'm not sure, it's like such a small component of it that actually you're quite happy with the end result regardless. And you might not need to revisit it. You might not want to. You might not feel like it's necessary. So,
yeah. There was that whole time versus impact thing where in that video where I think he was doing something on the metals, and it was like, this is the quickest part. The quickest thing that I'm doing, it probably has the biggest impact.
Yeah.
And it's just really interesting. But then, yeah, like it's that difference between done and finished.
Yeah.
You know, get it done. Done to the point where, right, I can play games, I can go to my event, whatever. It doesn't have to be finished.
Yeah. Unless it's a competition.
Not stressing
race.
About that.
Then I think it probably should be finished. But I think your army project should never be
never
done.
Finished. Nothing is ever finished.
Finished to the point where no one but you knows that it's not finished. Yeah. Right. Well, shall we move on to the best feature of our podcast?
Is that the... Are we going to have to record that properly with some music?
Oh, should we? I feel like we probably should.
The best feature of the podcast.
Do you know what, though? We don't actually know if it's the best feature of the podcast, because the first one that we have done has not even been released yet. So
it's your favorite feature of the podcast.
I mean, I don't know about you, but it's good fun.
I did enjoy last time. I want to try and get what did I get? 5 out of 10 this last time?
You got
time?
A 5 out of 10.
Let's see if I can beat
middle
5.
Of the field.
Go on.
Yeah. We're talking, of course, about the Paint Pot Challenge.
Yes. I have done absolutely zero research and prep.
You should not do any research.
Exactly how it's intended.
Yes. Because I think, honestly, like, if you just go and look at, like, Turbo Dork's catalog, I'm fucking dead in the water, man.
Yeah,
not that you should guess Turbo Dork for all of these,
for
because
the tip.
They're definitely not Turbo Dork exclusively. Right. Challenge number 2.
Oh, so
feel free to
just
play along.
You're just fucking with me, because now I don't know whether they are going to be Turbo Dork exclusively. If at the end of this they are all Turbo Dork, I hate you.
I mean, they are. So anyway, challenge 2. You ready? So just to remind everyone on the rules, there's 5 paints that I'm going to list the names of. And Steph has to guess, A, if they are real paints or I have made them up. And B, if they are real paints, he has to guess the paint range that they come from. So there's two points if he guesses correctly that they're fake. There's 1 point if he guesses that they are real, and an extra point if they if he guesses what paint range they're from, for a total maximum of 10 points. Hey. Let's see if Steph can improve on his last week's performance of 5 out of 10. As we go into Paintbot Challenge number 2. Number 1. Banana Republic.
Oh, I hope that's real. Quite late. I want to hear all 5 first this time.
Oh, okay. Are we changing the metric? All right.
I'm mixing it up.
Okay. This is going to be easier for you. I expect a higher score. Number 2. Orange You Glad.
Okay.
Yes, like the old joke. Orange You Glad, I didn't say banana. Republic.
Next.
Number 3. Raspberry Ripple.
Okay. Classic.
Number 4. Box Wine.
Box Wine.
And number 5. Let Them Eat Cake. You can see that I've gone for a food-related theme this time.
Food round. I'll be completely honest with you. None of those sound like paints.
Well, you know, in the first round, I made them all real.
You did.
That's definitely not what I did this time, right? Or did I make them all fake? Or did I make them all real again?
Okay, I'm going to go. Banana Republic is real.
Ooh!
From what? What was the second one?
Orange You Glad.
Orange You Glad is fake.
Okay.
Number 3 was...
Raspberry Ripple. Classic flavor.
Raspberry Ripple is real.
Okay. Are you gonna confirm manufacturers after?
Yeah.
Okay. Number 4, Box Wine.
Box Wine is real.
And Let Them Eat Cake.
And that's fake.
Right. So, you said Banana Republic is real. Can you tell me who makes that paint?
I am going to go Turbo Dog.
Right, you said Orange You Glad is fake. You then said Raspberry Ripple is real. Can you tell me who makes that paint?
I will guess... You know what? I'm going to go Turbo Dog again. Because Turbo Dog has stupid names for their paints. Well, they're just wacky paints.
Mate, they are my favorite. They're so good. I'm going to have to buy some. Okay. You said Box Wine was real.
And I'm going to guess the Army Painter for that one.
Okay. And then Let Them Eat Cake, you said was fake.
Yeah.
Right.
0 out of 10.
So, here are the answers. Number 1, Banana Republic is fake.
Ah, fuck.
So, 0 out of 2 there. Number 2, Orange You Glad is real. And it's from Turbo Dork. So, 0 out of 4. This is not going well, Steph.
See, those two, I thought, one of those exists, and then he's made the other one because
Yeah. And you fell right into the worst trap.
Yeah.
Number 3, Raspberry Ripple, which you said was real and from Army Painter?
Turbo Dork.
Oh, is this okay, this is TurboTurk. It's actually fake. There is no Raspberry Ripple paint. So that's a fat 0 out of 6 so far.
I have done number worse 4 than last time.
Yep, but that confirms it's worse than last time. Number 4, Box Wine, which you said was from Army Painter, right?
Yeah.
Box Wine is a paint.
Ooh, 1 point.
And it's from TurboTurk.
Fuck.
And then number 5, Let Them Eat Cake, which you said was fake.
It's real from TurboTurk.
It's real from TurboTurk. Is that a grand total of 1 out of 10?
I hate you because you told me and then no. I hate it.
Get wrecked. Right. That's a poor, poor showing, Steph. My goodness. Oh my goodness. You're going to have to do better next time.
One day I'm going to make my own quiz and fuck with you.
Oh, you should. Please do. I can't wait.
I need to scratch my brain.
Oh, right. News.
News.
What's your news, man?
So this past weekend, myself and friends of the show, Ross, Kurt and Big Joe, we headed off to a Warcry tournament at Warhammer World. Unfortunately, Big Joe didn't get a ticket. He was on the waiting list and it never came through, but he came down and hung out for a bit anyway. I had an absolutely shocking day. In fact, no, it wasn't a weekend. It was Wednesday.
Yeah, it was Wednesday.
Everything is fucky-wucky with my head right now. Yeah. Because I went to that on a Wednesday and then...
Yeah, you went to a Wednesday event.
Yeah, it was weird. An event on a Wednesday. It was quite good, to be fair, because I think it gives people who work a lot of weekends the opportunity to go to an event. There was 25... playing, I think. So it wasn't too bad.
See, that's weird. You would have thought they'd just whack Joe in there to make it 26 and then everyone has a game every round.
I did think it was kind of like, Joe's been on the waiting list and didn't get a ticket. And there's an odd number of players.
Yeah.
Which is, I'm not convinced that the waiting list entirely worked out.
Nope.
But yeah, it was quite good. It was a decent event. Everybody was super chill. 4 great games. One of them was actually against Mr. Kurt, which was my only win of the day.
Oh, damn.
Lost my other 3 games. So, yeah, I had a bit of a shocking day. But Kurt picked up the Sportsmanship Award.
Very good job, Kurt.
Which is a brilliant result. Our local club has a tendency to pick up sportsmanship awards, and not a lot else.
To be fair, I think that's a good thing, though. That's a really good thing.
Mm. Yeah, definitely.
And at least you guys as a group came away with a sportsmanship award. You can't ask for better than that.
Yeah. But Ross ended up winning the event, so we did actually come away with better than that. So congratulations to Ross.
Yeah, man.
Flaming everybody that he came up against with 2 flamethrowers with his horns of a shit.
He can retire them now, right? Right? Yeah, that's how it works?
He was saying that afterwards, like, oh, no, they're retired now. I need to pick a new faction. He's won with them, so they go in a box. Although, Games Workshop potentially are just retiring that faction anyway, so...
That's rough, man.
A different topic.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was my piece of news. It was a good day. It was good to hang out, play some games on a Wednesday, and it was cool to see Kurt and Ross pick up those awards.
Congratulations, Ross! That is an absolutely wicked achievement, man. I'm so pleased that you won that. Well done. If I ever beat you, I can just take that championship off you. It's fine.
Yeah,
it's great.
That's how it works.
That's how it works.
If you beat him, and we get the medal.
That's it.
It was interesting though, because I was like, our mindsets are still in that kind of war machine realm when it comes to events. So if people don't know how war machine tends to work in a tournament format, it's essentially knockout. So the winner of the event or in order to win an event, you have to win all of your games. That's just kind of how the format goes. So the fact that Ross actually drew his first game and then won the rest, his name didn't come up for third or second, so we were just like, ah, you know, Ross must be like fourth and just kind of missed out. And then his name popped up on screen, and like the three of us were like, well, Kurt was like, oh yeah, I knew you had it, mate. me and Ross were sat there and was like, oh fuck, yeah, so Ross won. It was really cool.
Awesome.
And that's it for me on my news.
That's wicked.
Although I think I can join in on one of your news items.
Oh yes. Yes. See, my news item is a distinct lack of news. Distinct lack of news. Yeah, no noosh. Yeah, basically me and Steph have both been on waiting lists for our glorious product that we bigged up massive on the last show. And
I'm really keen to get some and start playing.
Me too.
Hopefully the stock comes into the country soon.
Yeah, so. I think so. Element Games told me that they basically have enough to cover all the back orders, and it's on its way from the States. They just don't have any tracking information, which I thought was a bit weird. But I don't know. Maybe it's on a boat? ? Who knows? Anyway, hopefully we get it soon and we can start tinkering. I think now the fact that I'm going to be weathering my Dark Angels after the event, I'm definitely going to do it with Noosh.
So I'm really excited. And it also means that you're not stressed out the fact that you haven't received your Noosh.
So. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, that's part of the reason why the whole thing was got pushed after, but it's all right. And my other news is Fallout. Yeah, Fallout.
Fallout?
There's some new games coming out from Fallout. I think there's something you guys got excited about, which was like a skirmish level Fallout game, which was quite interesting looking.
Yeah, whether it was intentional or not, they seem to have released at the same time or be releasing it around the same time as the TV show. So, and I did see a post just before we started recording, actually. I think Duncan Rhodes has posted, he's painted up the ghoul from the TV show.
Yeah, I've seen that.
So they are actually doing miniatures from the show, so that's really cool.
It's pretty cool. And it's a good good tie-in. It's a good move, I think.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I've never played the games or anything like that, but I'm enjoying the TV show right now. I think we've watched 5 episodes, and I think there's 8, maybe?
Yeah.
And yeah, it's really cool. Looking at the game the other day, I was like, yeah, I'm up for giving this a go. The small skirmish scale, you know, you only need 10 guys, and the terrain's potentially quite cool. Some of the things that you could do with it.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm quite excited about it. I noticed that there's some really nice, like, automaton miniatures. I've played all the games, so I'm really keen on the setting. I've been watching the show as well. I think we've only watched 3 episodes of it, though, because we get like 1 episode in a night, which is not a lot, but it means I can hobby as well. And yeah, I've always loved automatons. Like, all the different kinds in Fallout are really funny and really nice scope for doing cool paint schemes and stuff. So I'm hoping I'll be able to use them in the skirmish game as well. It didn't look like they initially were going to be in that version of the game, but we'll see. So gonna find out more and maybe pick up some Fallout miniatures. Who knows? We'll see. So many other projects on the go this year.
That's it. It's one for later in the year, I think. Potentially for when we go on holiday in December or end of November.
That is a great idea.
That might be something to look at.
Definitely. Yeah. Right. You want to take us out, big man?
Big man. Thank you for listening to the Hobby Time podcast. Fucked it up again.
Yeah, boy, my intro was better than Steph's outro.
It's very true. Check us out on Instagram, at the Hobby Time Podcast, and we will catch you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.